I don't know whether it's I'm a child at heart or not, but I love everything about Christmas. I love the excitement of Christmas. I love giving presents, and I like getting them, and I like getting them more than I like giving them. Somebody recently said, Christmas is for children, which I think is close to being immoral. Christmas is for ancient warriors, let me tell you. And Christmas is for me. I tell you the things I like about Christmas. I like family, friends. You get in touch with old friends again. I like it in Australia more than I like it in this country, because I noticed in Sydney yesterday by reading the Times that the maximum temperature yesterday was 38 degrees Celsius. Doesn't seem right that you should be rugged up and cold at Christmas. I mean, I have been singing all my life about in the midwinter, but I knew that was really a joke. But I discover it's no joke at all. Christmas is a big deal, and Christian-wise, it is our big deal. I don't know if you took in as the reading was coming. In the beginning was the Word, the life force, that which caused everything to be. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything that was created by the Word. And can you believe it? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Can you believe that? The great God, whose mind is such that everything is in it, instantaneously and permanently. The reason why you can't teach God anything is because there's nothing he doesn't know. That God became a human being in the person of Jesus. For us in the Christian world, it is the great event. God demonstrated himself in unmistakable language by appearing on the scene. And he did it in a way that I can understand as a person who grew up and lived the perfect life. Did it occur to you when you came in and we're singing the carols, the great part of Christmas, aren't they? I love them. That we are talking about the greatest event that ever took place in the history of humankind. Does it appear to you like that? What do you think if the prime ministers could bring peace? That would be a bigger one. Would it appear to you if we could solve the Bosnia deal that that would be bigger? The Bible writers have a different point of view altogether. They say nothing bigger ever happened, and only one thing bigger can happen again. And both of them are about Jesus. They span one coming and the next coming. Jesus, born in a stable in Bethlehem, grows up as a boy into manhood, into perfect humanhood, and he is, while being human, also God in every one of his attributes. And you can't come to that point without saying, why ever did God take this on? I mean, you wouldn't, would you? If you had all the creative powers and every piece of information that was ever available to you, you wouldn't become a human, would you? In this country? Even Australia? I've never been to Bethlehem, so I can't make a comment on it. Let me talk about the tragedy of Christmas and the wonder of Christmas. The tragedy and the wonder. Listen while I read you what John says in his gospel of this man, Jesus. He came to his own people. His own people rejected him. Yet to all who receive him, To those who believe in his name, he gives the authority to become the children of God. He came to his own people. His own people rejected him. That is the great tragedy, isn't it, of the first Christmas day. I mean, it is typified by no room in the inn. But that is just the beginning of the people of God who reject Jesus. They will not have him as God. They will not have him as the one who's come from God. They will not have him as their king. That is the great tragedy. Just imagine if Jesus was running Australia. Just imagine if it was to Australians that it said, he came to those who were his own. They are not his own, but try and imagine it if you can. You've got imagination big enough for that? It'll certainly have to be very wide and broad. Just imagine. We would know whether Justice Murphy had perverted the course of justice. I would like to know the truth about that. We would know whether Lindy Chamberlain had murdered her daughter or whether in fact the dingo took it. And we'd know whether we've perverted the course of justice. We'd know whether we've done a terrible injustice to her. And we'd know how to rectify it. Let your mind wander on what it would be to have this one, the Word made flesh, in the midst of us now. We might get the trouble spots just, we might just get them right. We'd know where justice lay, and we'd have the will to follow it. Wouldn't that be something? He came to his own people, and the tragedy is his own people said, no, we will not have you. And their golden moment, as it were, slipped through their fingers like sand. And I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, before I'm hasty to condemn them, the story sounds all too familiar to me. For I know what it is to have turned my back on the living God and said, no, no, I won't have you to be king over me. I am very slow to pass judgment on others, for I've known what it is for me to sit where God should have sat in my life. And I've known what it is to say, I am the master of my life. I am the captain of my soul. As if God had not visited his people. And I've lived as if Jesus had not become flesh and dwelt among us. And I'd lived as if Christmas never was, and Easter never was, and the second coming never was. And the Bible leads me to believe that all of us have been in that position at one time or another. It's a fact, isn't it? It's a fact. He came to his own people. That's the tragedy. And Christmas rolls round, Christmas after Christmas. In my case, 63 of them. They just roll by. And it is as if he comes to his own again and again. And it doesn't move us in the way that it should. He came to that which was his own. That's the tragedy. They rejected him. Let me tell you the sheer wonder of it. Listen while I read the verse to you again. He came to that which was his own. His own rejected him. But to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the authority to become the children of God. This is a passport. You can see at a glance, it is not my passport. This passport is owned by somebody who is in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. That is not me. I left mine at home this morning, so I had to borrow one. Here is a passport. It is an authority to leave and enter this country. That's what it allows you to do. And it affords you the protection of this government wherever you are. It says who you are. It says what country you belong to. It says if you own it, you are in good standing with this government. And you may leave and you may return. It is not collective. It is individualistic. It has a photograph in the back of it. It is why I won't be able to use this one. They open it up and they say, you've changed quite a lot. This is female. You seem to have a lot of hair when this was taken. You see, it's individual. Nobody else can use this passport. That's it. Listen to what the Bible says. To those who receive Jesus as their king, he gave them the passport, the authority to enter into the family of God. How do you go about getting your passport? You make an application for it. Not everybody has one. You're not given one at birth. You make application for it. If you're not in good standing, that is, if you're wanted by the police, if you have a criminal record, there's no way you can get one. Because if you have a criminal record, they don't want you to leave the country where you're outside of their grasp. It's not possible. It is like that in the spiritual realm. What if I come to my senses today and say, I'm not going to let another Christmas roll by and the tragedy be mine yet again? What if I were to say today, when he comes to his own, I'm not going to reject him, but I will in fact receive him. What about the past? What about the years that have rolled by where unjustifiably I've said no, no, no? And this is the wonder. If you ask, why did God become a human? Why did he enter into his world like this? It was that he might die on the cross, take the punishment our sins deserve, so that we might be forgiven, so that we might be treated as if there'd never been any rejection, a full and free pardon. And that is why when I put my trust in Jesus, the one who is God, and I say to him, I won't reject you anymore, I will receive you as my very own. I put my trust in the fact that you've died for me. Then the authority is mine. And he says, you may become the children of God. You may be truly mine, if you will receive me and not reject me. As I close, let me ask you this question. When the time comes for you to leave life and enter into the next, I want you to try and imagine that that is my lot now. And there I am at the entrance to heaven, and he says, may we see your passport, please? The authority to enter here. I'm sorry, you do not belong to this country. You do not belong to these people. See the point I'm making? You can't be a member if you aren't a member. You can't belong if you don't belong. And if you don't have the authority to enter, you can't enter. Let me read it to you again. He came to those who were his own. His own rejected him. But to those who receive him, who believe into his name, he gave authority to become the children of God. And I use the illustration because it seems to me to be so apt. Nobody gets in on anybody else's authority. You come and ask for one yourself. You need the past to be dealt with through the death of Jesus. But let me tell you, today would be a great day to pick up your passport into the family of God. Today would be a day, if you're the sort of person who's let many Christmases roll by, where you know you haven't received Jesus as your King, to say today, I don't want to let another one slip through my fingers. Lord Jesus, I want to receive you. I want you to give me the authority to be in the people of God now and for eternity. Now, I don't know where you stand in the things of God, but I'm going to pray a prayer for people who've let it slide through their fingers in the past. And you say, no, I'm not going to let that happen again. Listen while I tell you what I'll say in the prayer. I'll say, Lord Jesus, I haven't received you as I should have. But from today onwards, I want you to be my King. Please give me the authority to be in your people. Is that a good prayer for you? I'll pray it. And if it's right for you, echo it to God inside your own head. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I haven't received you as my King. But from today onwards, that is what I want to do. Please come to me and take over the running of my life. Please give me the authority to be numbered amongst your people, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.